Good morning. Let's open up this morning's service to hymn number 185 in your blue hymnal. Number 185, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken.
Such a river ever flows their thirst to swage. Grace which like the Lord, the giver, never fails from age to age. Round its habitation hovering, see the cloud and fire appear for a glory and a covering, showing that the Lord is near. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken, form thee for his own abode.
You may be seated. Robert.
Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the church. Women work from sun to sun, but a man's work is never done. Father, we would ask, Father, this morning that you'd be with Greg, Father, as he preaches away from the church. You'd give him grace, Father. You'd give him freedom and liberty to bring the word of God. And we'd ask, Father, that you'd be with me this morning. You'd give me the right words, Father. You'd give me the grace to bring the right word in a time of trial, a time of need. Let the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in this service, Father. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them who are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Christ Jesus, and called. Turn, if you will, to the book of Jude, verse 1. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and then Jude. Jude, the bondservant, doulos, the bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. James was the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so was Jude. He doesn't mention it, I think, for two reasons. One is this: family don't mean a whole lot when it comes to salvation. Salvation is strictly one-on-one. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. The second reason is it doesn't do anything for the gospel. He's a child of God, just like James is, just like we are, but he is the brother of our Lord, and so is James. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, and the reason Jude calls it the common salvation, because it's common to all the children of God, the same salvation for everyone. There's not two gospels, there's not two ways to heaven, there's not two salvations. There's no way to stand before God righteous except through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing common about the message of salvation except that we all have it. It's common to all of us. When I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. One faith delivered one time. Now, what is it that we have to earnestly contend for? What's the first mention of faith in the Scriptures? I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and her seed shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It's all Christ. We're not mentioned there. Salvation is all of Christ. He does the bruising. He does the dying for the sin of us. He does everything. That's the faith we have to have. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. That's what we have to earnestly contend for. We don't need to be caught up in the idea that other religions might not have the whole truth, but they might have enough to get to heaven. If they believe you do anything to add to the work of Jesus Christ for salvation, you're not going to see them there. Earnestly contend that Christ did the work. It is finished. That's the one faith once delivered. Earnestly contend for it. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be speaking to you this morning about four things. Number one, are the children of God, are we the bondservants of Jesus Christ? Have we, as children of God, been sanctified by God the Father? And what does that mean? The third one is, are we preserved in Christ Jesus? And the fourth one is, are we called? Has God called us unto a knowledge of the truth? Now, talking about things in common, that salvation is common to all the children of God, bond slaves have one thing in common. All of them have an owner. They're owned by someone. Is Jesus Christ our owner? According to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, according to the good pleasure of his will, speaking of God the Father, by which he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Yes, we belong to Christ. We belong to God the Father, and he gave us to Christ. That's the covenant of grace. Christ said, I will go to the cross, I will die, I will pay the total price for their sins. They're mine. They're mine. We belong to Christ. Don't never doubt that. The Lord Jesus Christ, even though he is our owner, we're still in union with him. We're still in union, but never doubt that we don't belong to Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own. We're not our own. We are bought with the price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Never doubt that Christ doesn't own us, because he does. He is the one person that has total control and total ownership of his children. In Revelation chapter 5, whenever John stood and saw the book in the hand of God the Father, and no man in heaven or earth or under the earth could open it. And John said he wept much because nobody can open the book. And the elders told him, "Weep not, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seals thereof." And the 24 elders sung a new song. Remember that? "Worthy is the Lamb to open the book and reveal the seals thereof, because thou hast redeemed us from every tribe and every tongue and every nation." Redeemed, bought us back. He purchased us at the slave market of sin. He bought us with his blood, and he owns us. So the number one mark of a bond slave is they have to have an owner, and we do. The Lord Jesus Christ is our owner. Now, there's one thing that we have to deal with and make clear here, and it's this: we don't have enough sense, none of us do, to understand spiritual application. There's nothing in our lives, there's nothing in this world, there's nothing in our knowledge that we can compare to our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We just don't have the knowledge. We come into this world dumb, and we only get dumber. But God, in his mercy and his grace, gives us illustrations that we do know about, that we can look at and see the parallels between that illustration and the children of God, and you can understand them. One of them is sheep. John chapter 10. The Lord Jesus Christ told the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, "As I said to you before, you do not hear my words because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Well, we know good and well we're not sheep, but there are parallels that we can look at for sheep and apply them to us, and we can understand spiritual relationship with Christ. One of them is this: sheep have to be taken care of. They can't take care of themselves. They must have a shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture." They have to be led. They have to have a shepherd. They have to be led. They have no natural defense. They're easy to kill. They're easy to hurt. And yet God told Abraham, "I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." So they're like us in that respect. They really and truly can't take care of themselves. They have a tendency to wander. Well, we wouldn't know nothing about that, but we do. Remember the 99, the Lord Jesus Christ went out to get the one that had strayed. So you see what I'm saying? There are parallels between these things and the children of God that we can look at, and we can learn about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He looks after us. He's our shepherd. He's our protection. He comes after us when we stray. And it's the same thing with a slave, with a bond slave. There are parallels between the children of God and a bond slave. One of them is we all have to have an owner. There must be an owner. The second one is this. And by the way, I'm not going to spend a lot of time or any time giving you the background on different kinds of servants and slaves in the Old Testament. I'm not interested in that anymore, and it has nothing to do with the gospel. I used to do that when I was a Calvinist preacher. I could spend two messages telling you all the things about the slaves and servants and never mention the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to do that anymore. So we'll deal in general rules. As a general rule, a servant works for wages. Remember the owner of the vineyard that went down to the labor pool and got the day laborers, and they went to work for him, and they settled on what? A penny a day. His responsibility to that servant was over when he paid him his penny. There's no relationship there at all except a covenant. You work, I'll pay. The Christians are not involved in that kind of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are wages mentioned in the Bible. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So be careful when we call ourselves servants of God. As a general rule, a debt slave owed more than he could pay. So he'd find some rich man and he'd tell him, listen, I owe $50,000 to the First Bank of Apopka. If you'll pay the $50,000, I'll work for you 10 years. Okay, he pays the bill, you work for him 10 years. You're a debt slave. But if anyone, friends, neighbors, brothers, sisters, if anyone could pay the $50,000, you're free. If you worked the 10 years, you're free. If the year of Jubilee came up during that 10 years, you're free. Well, in the first place, we can never pay our own debts. I guarantee you, an eternity in hell is not enough to pay the debt for sin. There's no way we can. And if we could, we would be free from Christ, right? But we don't want that. So a debt slave is not really applied to the children of God. But a bond slave is a whole different thing. Now, as a general rule, bond slaves were almost always captives of war. Are the children of God captives of war? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Don't never kid yourself. I was born into this world a 100% confirmed citizen of the power of darkness. I was shapen in iniquity and sin did my mother conceive me. I went astray from the womb, speaking lies as soon as I was born, and after that, I only got worse. I was enmity against God. I was not subject to the law of God, neither indeed could be. I was totally under the dominion of the power of darkness from day one. From day one. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven, born of a virgin, lived a sinless and a perfect life, did his Father's will every second of every minute of every hour of every day, the whole time he was here on earth. And then he went to a death on the cross for me. And for you, if you're a child of God. And he paid the penalty for sin. Now, price was far, far worse than death. When he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for me, who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what he did for me. And they buried him in a tomb and rolled a stone over the tomb and sealed it. But he rose again. The Lord Jesus Christ triumphed over death and hell and the grave. And he came to where I lived, and he took me away from the power of darkness. He delivered me from Satan, delivered me from a life of sin, and brought me into his kingdom. You better believe I'm a captive of war. All of the children of God are. All of the children of God were born into the kingdom of darkness and didn't know and didn't care. And the Lord Jesus Christ took every child of God away from the power of darkness. So there is parallels between bond slaves and Christians. Definitely. Another one is this. As a general rule, bond slaves were almost always Gentiles. When the children of Israel overran a village, everybody there was a bond slave. They're a prisoner of war. The Gentiles were, without exception, made bond slaves. Were we ever Gentiles? Laying aside the question of Jew and Gentile, were we ever Gentiles? You better believe we were. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. That at that time, that's before God called us, that at that time you were Gentiles in the flesh, called uncircumcision by that which is the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. We were Gentiles. That at that time you were without Christ, being an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, a stranger from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's who we were before God called us. We were Gentiles with no hope, no Christ, no God. But now are ye made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're no longer Gentiles. We're children of God. We are the light of the world. We're the salt. We're the ones that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his all for. We're not Gentiles anymore, but we were. We definitely were. And there's one more that really comes home to me. I don't know if you read your program or not, but Todd Neibert said that to worry about things is only a theoretical faith. And that's something that we shouldn't have to worry about, but we do. But we do, and this has to do with bond slavery. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ went through Bethany and he stopped at Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house, and they're getting the meal ready. you can just be right there while it happened. Martha is in the kitchen. Martha is working like a maniac. Scripture says that she was cumbered about with serving. Martha's slicing potatoes. She's mixing dough. She's boiling water. She's making salad. She's setting the table. She's putting out the silverware. And she looks and there's Mary sitting on the floor at the Lord Jesus Christ's feet. Luke chapter 10. You can check on it. So she goes in there and she tells the Lord, "Lord, don't you care?" And I'm paraphrasing. "Don't you care that I'm killing myself in the kitchen? I'm doing all of it by myself. And there's Mary sitting there on the floor. Tell her to get up and come in and help me." And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Martha, Martha, thou art troubled about many things. But Mary hath chosen that part which is best." You know what the Lord just told her? The thing that all of us need to hear. Don't worry about temporary things. It's the first of the month. The house notes due. The light bills due. The water bills due. The car notes due. Church baby needs a new pair of shoes. What in the world are we going to do? Don't worry about the mules, just load the wagon. All of these things will come to pass for this one simple reason. The owner of a bond slave is 100% absolutely, positively responsible for everything that has to do with that bond slave. And the Lord Jesus Christ does that for us. He puts shoes on our feet, clothes on our back, food in our tummy. He gives us cars to drive to church with. He does everything for us. In Him we live and move and have our being. We shouldn't have any worries. God knows what we need before we even ask for it. That's scripture. So why are we worried? It's a lack of faith, really and truly. If I had the grace to approach the throne of God and ask, "Lord, give me the faith, give me the faith to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset me. Give me the grace to run with patience the race that is set before me. Give me the grace to keep my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of my faith." God will take care of us. The owner of a bond slave was responsible for everything, health care and everything. And we are under the care of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, if the biscuits get burnt, we'll eat them anyway. If the meat gets overcooked, we'll just chew it longer. Nothing should ever cause us to doubt the providence of God. So you see, there are a lot of things that are paralleled between the children of God and bond slaves. The scripture tells us in no uncertain terms that we're not slaves. We're children of God. We are in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how close we are. We are holy and without blame before Him. So we're not slaves and we're not robots. But these things are put in the scriptures to increase our understanding of our relationship to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The sheep and the bond slave, we're the light of the world, yet we don't have a light switch. You can only carry these so far, and then you have to quit. You know what I'm saying? Sheep have four legs, we don't. They got dirty, greasy hair all over their bodies. Some of us might, most of us don't. You have to stop somewhere. And that's about where you stop with the bond slave, is that you will be taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're bond slaves. We were Gentiles, we're not. We were at one time citizens of the power of darkness, now we're not. We used to have to worry about everything in the whole world. Now we don't. That's the good thing about being a bondslave of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we get there? We're in a position where everybody in the whole world would love to be. We don't have any worries. If we can just make it through this life, we're going to go on and be with the Lord, and none of this stuff will bother us anymore. How did we get to this point in our lives? It's right here in front of us. Those who were sanctified by God the Father. Now, sanctification just means to be set apart. In a scriptural sense, it means to be set apart for a holy purpose. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." That's set apart. We have been set apart by God's choosing us from all the rest of mankind. That he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. And the holy purpose is this: that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's what we were set apart for. Not only that, we were predestinated under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So we have, children of God, have been sanctified, set apart for a holy purpose by God the Father. Scripture's very plain on that, very explicit on that. Now, sanctification, a setting apart, or whatever application you want to give it, is a one-time thing. Only been chosen one time. Didn't need a second time. We've been chosen to certain things that will come to pass. When God chose me, I was as holy as I will ever be. I'm not going to make myself any better. There's no such thing as progressive holiness. Doesn't work that way. I'm as holy as I would ever be. I was without blame as much as I would ever be. I was a child of God as much as I will ever be. God loved me at that time as much as he will ever love me. It was a one-time thing of being set apart by God the Father. We can wonder about it all we want to. All of us here know hundreds, maybe even thousands of people that have went through the wide gate and they're on the broad path that leadeth to destruction. Our own personal experience is this: we've been led by the Holy Spirit through the straight gate. And we're in the narrow way that leadeth unto life. The difference being that we were sanctified, set apart by God the Father. This is a mystery that we will never understand in this life. Why me? Why, out of all the people that I know, why would God choose me? It wasn't for anything I did. It's according to the good pleasure of his will. That's it. That's it. That's the difference between us and them. So we're a bond slave and we have been sanctified by God the Father. Are we preserved by Christ Jesus? Well, sure we are. When the Lord Jesus Christ took us in the covenant of grace, we were home free. All that was left was for these things to occur in time. He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. I was in union with Christ before the foundation of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ had taken everything, taken care of everything on my behalf before the foundation of the world. Now all you got to wait on is for time to pass and the providence of God bring these things to pass. But how can we be sure? Because he ever liveth to make intercession for us. As long as the Lord Jesus Christ lives, we will live. And he lives forever. And he makes intercession for us forever. We could, if we had the faith, we could say with David, when David lay on his deathbed, and there's been several times when I thought I was there myself, and when that occurs, you got a pretty clear picture of the way things really are. And David said, although my house be not so with God, as far as I know, I'm the only one on my side of the family that God has chosen. As far back as I know, none of them were Christian. Same with Deanna. As far back as she knows, none of her people was Christian. Our son, we're not sure about. He seems to have no interest anymore in God. We pray about that. You know how you are about your children. And I can honestly say, although my house be not so with God, he hath made with me, with you, with me, an everlasting covenant. It's never going to end. It never had a beginning. It doesn't have a middle. It's never going to end. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, I am preserved in Christ Jesus. I am persuaded, Romans 8:38, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is given me in Christ Jesus. Yes, he does preserve us. We're his forever. We've always been his. So we're bond slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been set apart by God the Father. We're preserved in Christ Jesus. You can take your money to the bank and bet on it that what the Lord Jesus Christ determined before the foundation of the world will come to pass. That's what the angel told Joseph. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sin. He doesn't just save us, he preserves us. He keeps us until the last day. He's able to keep that which we've committed him against that day. All we have to do is live long enough to die, and all these things will come to pass. That's it. That's it. Are we called? Am I called? This is the first one in this book of Jude that we really have anything to do about. We didn't have anything to do with that being called, but we do know about it. Unless we've deceived ourselves, we know whether we've been called or not. For about the first 35 years of my life, I lived in a graveyard. I was dead in trespasses and sins. Only God can open your eyes to that fact. I was at enmity with God. I was not subject to the law of God, neither indeed could be. I could care less about the things of God, the people of God, eternal life, heaven and hell, because I was spiritually dead. Now, you're not going to hear the call as long as you're spiritually dead. Regeneration, the new birth, must occur before you can hear the call. Don't let anybody ever tell you any different. You cannot be persuaded to accept Jesus unless you've been born again. You can't do anything before you're born again. And the Holy Spirit stood at the foot of my grave and looked down at me and had mercy on me and said, Robert Horton, come forth. And I did. I was born again. I can see the kingdom of God, yes. I know that my Redeemer liveth, yes. Has God taken away my stony heart and given me a heart of flesh? Yes. Has God made me willing in the day of His power? Yes. Has God showed me that I am a man of unclean lips and I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips? Yes. God has opened my eyes that I am the sinner. Have I ever smote upon my breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? Yes. Have I ever confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in my heart that God had raised Him from the dead? Yes. Do I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes. Only because God has born me again and called me. Have we been called? Yes, we have. Bond slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ, set apart by God the Father, preserved in Christ Jesus, and called. So I guess this letter really was addressed to all the children of God. Let not your heart be troubled. That's what the Lord said. Out of everything that we have to worry about, everyday living should not be one of them. Out of every gift that God has given us, the most precious one is total dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. What we need to pray for is the faith to lay hold on these promises. Like I said, the faith to cast aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that God has set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Father, we come before You this morning, Father, asking for the grace, Father, and the faith to hold these things near to our hearts, Father, for the strength, Father, to face life as it is here, to look forward, Father, with being with Thee. Give us the grace, Father, to know and understand that the Lord Jesus Christ has done it all, that all to Him we owe. That sin had left a crimson stain, Father, and He washed it white as snow. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.